Hour number two of the program, Chris Thomas Turtle with you until 9:30. Hawks pregame comes your way then. Let's waste no time and head out to the WadeFord.com hotline to begin the 7 o'clock hour with our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter of the AJC. Make sure you check out everything there. D., let's start here. Was it news to you when you heard today that Darnell Mooney broke his collarbone in training camp?
We knew he had a shoulder injury. The fact that it was a broken collarbone was new, yes.
Yeah, I think that was an interesting tidbit of information. Do you think that partially explains his play this season?
Yeah, because he's trying to protect the shoulder. And that's why he missed a game late last year with the shoulder. And I don't know what the real issue or real question is. Was it the same shoulder? Did he break it twice? Was it the other shoulder? But clearly he's been trying to protect that shoulder. And but now it comes off as an excuse. So you don't want to, there's no injury reporting issue here. You don't have to report that until the season started. It was happening in training camp. Now he's not playing well. You want to run out there that he's broke his collarbone. So that's you should have just said that from the beginning, and folks wouldn't be questioning it right now.
Speaking of questioning things, I don't know if there's an actual real answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway, D. Why did it take until yesterday for them to bring in wide receiver help?
Well, they got wide receiver help in camp right now. They got four guys that they kept on the practice squad. Chris Blair being one of them, Nick Nash being the other. They've just been reluctant to – they did use Dylan Drummond one game. And they liked Casey Washington was having a great camp. They thought he was going to have a breakout year. And we saw that, too, in camp. So that would explain why they didn't go into the wide receiver market.
Okay, so now let's get to the crux of the issue here, D, as we're talking with D. Orlando Ledbetter. Check him out in the AJC, all your Falcons coverage. Why do you think, in your best estimation, is Michael Penix Jr. struggling so mightily right now, including that 12-for-28 in Germany?
Because all young quarterbacks struggle, Turtle. All of them do. I was there for Brett Favre in Green Bay. I was here for Matt Ryan. He went 11-6 his first year because he had a 2,000-yard backfield in Michael Turner and Jarrett Norwood, and all he had to do was find the safety and throw to the other side of the field. Brett Favre was a hot mess in Green Bay. All he did was lean on Sterling Sharp, and then, when he figured out how to read defenses, he was able to spread it around. He it was all Sterling Sharp and then screens to Edgar Bennett. That's all he knew how to do. And that got him to 9-7, got him to the playoffs the second year. The biggest pass he had was in the exhibition game when he learned how to throw the ball away. So, I mean, young quarterbacks struggle. They're seeing stuff for the first time. Brett Favre had a big arm, a 13 Wonderlic score. I mean, they used to, really just – choke him out in practice sometimes for some of the stuff he did. Grant, we don't get to see practice anymore, so I don't know. The name that's being left out is DJ Williams. Doug's son is the main quarterback coach. All four of those guys got to be responsible for Penix, Zach, TJ Yates, DJ Williams, those three guys, and of course, the head coach. But, you got to develop quarterbacks. We want to just put him in the microwave. He is older and think that he's just going to lift the team. No, they caught up to what Zach did last year. Now what the counters are, what are the things that, they talk about execution. But you got to give him some winning plays to get him out of bad situations, and that's, that's the coaching part of it.
What's going on third down, D?
They're getting beat up front. Three of those were sacks. One of them was a hot read that Kyle Pitts ran down the field on when, you saw him complete the hot reads against Tampa in week one. That's why I was like, okay, he can read. He can throw the hot routes. Now, here week nine, they're regressing. So, that's one thing, the blocking, the keep, because some of those are sacks. Some of those are people taking away routes, and some of them are busted plays, which, you got to eliminate those.
talking all things Falcons with our insider D. Orlando Ledbetter of the AJC. Make sure you check out his work there covering all things Atlanta Falcons. Okay, so there was some positive D in that last game. 7 sacks, 6 the week before. We haven't seen that kind of output in a long, long time. But how do you juxtapose that? I mean, I guess time of possession could be the answer, but you do 7 sacks, but then you give up 300 all-purpose yards to Jonathan Taylor, D.
Yeah, you're small. You're small. You're a smallish defense. This defense wasn't built to stop the run. They were built to play with a lead and go and attack people. Now, what's the adjustment when you don't get the lead and you only average 18 points? You're on the field too long. You get ran over. I mean, they put up a fight, but, you know, they stopped on one play where the guy got out for 83. But, you know, I was asking him, is this scheme or is this, you know, because, you know, you got a – smallest nickel defense out there. People are running all over it. Then you got to bulk it up, go big nickel or go 43, go old school 43 and try to, you know, pound back on people. But, you know, they just kept talking about misfits and this guy here and all that kind of stuff. But they're just too small, and they're not going to last on the field that long if the offense isn't putting up points.
So then in your assessment, with all of that said, do you believe Jeff Ulbrich is doing a good job right now? Because it seems like it's a lot of good here, but some really bad there.
Yeah, you're 29th in run. You're 29th against the run. So, you know, no, you're 29th. You're next to last in the league in stopping the run. So, yeah, you got a pass rush now, but you can't stop the run. Yeah, you got the number one ranked pass defense, but it doesn't matter because nobody has to throw because they could just run over you. So, no, it's a – you know, I don't know. It's good to see him fighting, but it's 29th against the run. You know, let's just call it what it is. It's not good against the run, and people don't have to throw because they can run on you.
And, yeah, that's ultimately what continues to happen week in, week out. Okay, one thing that could be a big boost this weekend with Carolina coming to town is the health of the offensive line. What was the latest update we got today?
Yeah, Chris Lindstrom made it through the game, didn't practice. Jake got a rest day. Kyle Hinton's name hasn't been mentioned, so he did a good job. Bergeron is day-to-day. So that's where they're at with the offensive line going into the Carolina game.
How do you think Charlie Warner is performing right now? Because I know if in an ideal world, he's a key part of this offense. He's almost like a sixth offensive lineman, somebody that they're going to ask to make some tough blocks to help spring Bijan and Tyler. But I know he's had a couple of good games, but also a couple of really uneven games, D.
Yeah, you know, they try to run off of him and kind of get that little extra blocker up there. And I think you saw him do a good job on some of the Algier runs on the big drive where they got back in there to tie it up. To take the lead late. But, yeah, kind of, you know, everybody kind of knew he's coming now. And they're meeting him at the point of attack, and that's kind of clogging things up a little bit. He's not getting a lot of drive on his blocks, and, you know, that's kind of a part that might be clogging up some things in the run game.
Speaking of the run game, do you feel like they're using Tyler Algier enough? You feel like they're mixing him in enough? It seems like every time they hand him the rock more than 10 times, they have a pretty good chance of winning the game, but those games have been few and far between.
Yeah, you know, this game, they're up. They got the lead, and they come out throwing. And I'm like, why? You know, that was the time to pound the ball at somebody, and they didn't do it. Trying to get too cute with the finesse part of it. You got the backs, and you got the line. And make them stop you three plays in a row. If you got to go four, go four. But, they definitely need to lean on both of those backs now. And I've been saying this for over a year and a half now. I'm like, hey, all y'all need to do is do the Ben Johnson. You know, do the David Montgomery Gibbs thing. You know, you got Bijan and Gibbs on track, but you don't have Algier getting close to the carries that Montgomery gets. And you can do that when you're converting things on third down.
All right, so with this game coming up, we all know how important it is versus Carolina. What is their margin right now, in your opinion? It seems like they're maybe only one or two more losses away from this thing being a wrap.
Well, yeah, no doubt. But, people are acting like, you know, this was rostered with the 78 Steelers. This is a developmental roster. I don't see four Super Bowl four Hall of Famers on both sides of the ball. So this team is still young and growing. You got to get, you just got to get one at this point. You know, look at three in a row, you could probably get those. But, you know, there's no evidence that says they can do it, given the fact they blew the Carolina game and the Dolphins game. So, you know, you're trying to play up and down to your opponents. You're not good enough to do that. So, got to take care of this one and take care of your rivalry thing. Get back to 500. You got level footing. And then if you're going to do anything special this year, you're going to have to beat Seattle and the Rams down the stretch.
Before I let you go, in your honest assessment, you've been covering Arthur Blank and his staff for a long time. If this team continues to trend the way it's trending, is there any way that either Raheem Morris or Terry Fontenot return next year?
Yeah, there is. If he's happy with enough progress, and given the fact that it's a young team that's building, you know, and he sees enough there to keep building, then, you know, they come back. You know, you look around the league now, Jason Licht in Tampa, you know, same situation. It was sketchy. They couldn't get off the ground. They get Brady, get a Super Bowl, stumble into Baker, and, you know, he gets a contract extension. So, you know, it wasn't, you know, he drafted Jameis number one overall. Most people would have ran him for that. Terry hasn't had, you know, picks when he should have got Penny Sewell and so forth. You know, you can go over the picks and, you know, argue for both sides. And if the owner thinks the progress or the franchise is moving in the right direction, he's going to be reluctant to blow it up. We've seen him give his coaches a lot of grace, you know, probably Quinn a little bit too long. Maybe Mike Smith not enough grace. But, yeah, the pattern is that if he's happy with progress and he sees enough good things, you know, they're certainly going to evaluate it all. But, you know, if they get hot here down the stretch, they just beat the teams they're supposed to beat. They'll have enough to keep building and moving forward.
D, great stuff. Appreciate the time. As always, we'll be checking you out in the AJC. I swear one of these times I have you on, it's going to be to talk about a win. I don't know when that's going to happen.
Well, okay, we'll wait for that day.
Yeah, you and me both. All right, thanks, D. Appreciate it. That is D.
Take care, Turtle.
That is D. Orlando Ledbetter right there. Every time I've had him on, it's after a loss. I mean, what can you say? That's just the way this season has gone. Back to your calls, 404-726-0929. If you're on hold, you'll be first up. Thanks for holding. If not, give Oren a call, 404-726-0929. I'll play the cut again when we get back. Raheem Morris not setting the right tone, in my opinion, talking about Michael Penix Jr. and where he's at. What do you think? And also, a shoulder injury or a broken collarbone? What's the difference? Oh, we'll talk about it. Just want to remind you, this Saturday, noon to 2, join Allie Mack at Rick Case Key in Duluth as we get ready for Sunday's big game. One lucky fan will win the ultimate tailgate kit, 50-inch 4K smart TV, rolling stand, and other prizes. Plus, another winner takes home tickets to an upcoming home game. Again, that's Saturday, noon to 2, Rick Case Key in Duluth with Allie Mack on 92.9 The Game. Before we get back to your calls on Chris Thomas tonight, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with you till 9:30. Hawks pregame starts then. Tip is at 10 o'clock here on 92.9 The Game. Going to let you hear what Raheem Morris said today that drove me up a wall, and we'll get back to the busy, busy phone lines at 404-726-0929. We'll also let you hear the full interview coming up at the bottom of the hour, and you can make the assessment for yourself. How did he come off today? I didn't think it was meeting the moment. He is paving the way for himself, his identity as stoic and non-emotional and sitting in the fan section, as he would say. Okay, all right, but when your fan base is ready to lose their minds and you're at the head of the spear, you know, separating yourself from the fan base may not be the best thing to do, Coach. I'm just saying. You know, we are not, you know, ants under your little microscope for us to watch and just sit there and burn as the season collapses. We are emotional fans who pour our heart, soul, and money into this football team, and you need to be able to commiserate with us. Again, we're not asking you to break down and cry. We're asking you to meet the moment and understand where this team is at 3-6. And I don't think he did that today, Orrin, especially with this answer about Michael Penix Jr. and confidence.
No, it was all-encompassing, what you just said. It was what you're talking about, the missed throws, they came on third down. You know, if we're talking about the missed out throw to Mooney on the sideline, where we're trying to layer over a defender, and the guy's there, and you try to layer it, you put too much, and it goes out of bounds. That leads into frustration. And then you come right back out after that, and you pivot off a thing. You progress across the middle of the field, and you throw it to Davis Sills, and you don't take your next hitch, and you kind of throw it right behind him. And those frustration things, that was the frustration that he had. It's not a confident thing. What came out as confidence to him was the anger of him knowing that he could make those plays and he missed them. And that's why he went out and said everything was on him and he blamed himself. And, you know, to the kid's credit, man, like I do nothing but credit his accountability, you know, but at the same time, there were some brilliant throws that you just mentioned that we did not catch for him. You know, the keeper, the one we talked about earlier that could have been a touchdown. You know, some of the ones that we made on the sideline that when you fight through the stuff and some of the stuff when you make some of the checks and you got to get those things down. And, like, he did some really good things, and he wants to play better, and he's capable of playing better. The stats may not show that because some of the completion things that have, but because of the drops, because of the missed throws, a couple of the few missed throws that you're talking about. But the fact that he knows he can make those, that's the confidence, the anger. And right. Some of the displeasure that he had was because he knows he can make them and he should have made them.
Being proud of his accountability is simply not good enough. What are we doing to change it? What are we doing to change it? That is my question. Jerry leads us off. Jerry, you're in the game.
Man, it was great hearing Ledbetter do his thing, too. That was wonderful.
Yeah, he's the best.
I actually am 75 years old. And I've been a Falcons fan since I was 16. I moved here in 1966. This is a preface. I've got a starter jacket because I played in the pep band for years at Atlanta Fulton County Stadium.
Oh, that's cool.
What I'm seeing now is I think the last coach of notoriety had was Dan Reeves, and I think we had Dan Henning. What I'm curious about, I watch Raheem on the sidelines, and he looks bewildered and he's just looking off. He's not, I'm not even sure he's there. And then the fact that after this game, which I watched the whole game, I'm a musician. I had a matinee that day and I'm like, all right, it's a tie score. I'm going to take a nap. Turn radio on. They lost again. Right. I saw the post game interviews and Michael, I got to play better. What really broke my heart was Bijan Robinson, who's always like, credit to God. You can tell that kid loves to play football. He was fighting back tears. And you said Raheem could have handled his comments, which I purposely didn't listen to them on Dukes and Bell today because I knew what it was going to be. So I just heard it. So thank you for that because that's even got me more bummed. What they could have said, and you kind of said this too, is he said, look, he doubts himself. Archer's like, you got to run there, Michael. You could have got 5 yards. He's lost his confidence. And they could have said, that's on us. We're not getting the plays in. Every time they use Tyler, most of the time, I'm glad he's a decoy to throw the ball to Bijan. I was playing in that band when it was Lynn Cain and William Andrews. My kids trick-or-treated in the apartments where all the players lived before there was all this flowery branch stuff. And for he could have said that. He could have said, you know what? He's going to take it all on himself. He's going to try to win the game. He's going to try to do everything, but he's not. And Zach Robinson, all of that. Why did they pass on Harbaugh? I don't understand.
Well,
Mike Bell said, Arthur Blank's a great.
I know I just got to let you run because we got a full bank of calls. I just want to make sure I get everybody in. Thanks for checking in, and that's cool to hear that you go that far back as a Falcons fan and have an appreciation for the current culture and are that dialed in still. That's great to hear, Jerry. Unfortunately, I wish we had a better product to talk about, but we don't, and that's what it comes down to. But I appreciate the insight and the input. It's all fair and it's all valid. Raheem Morris could have today acknowledged what's going on with the quarterback without throwing him under the bus, but also letting us know as a fan base and as a Falcons Nation that he gets it and that he understands how we're feeling and that we understand as fans that something needs to be done and don't put sugar on it and don't sweep it under the rug. There's a quarterback issue right now. There is a quarterback issue right now. There's also other issues, but there's a quarterback issue. And it's okay to acknowledge it. In fact, you should. Danny's up next. Danny.
Hey, Chris. What's up, man? Good evening. How are you?
I'm great, man. Thanks for checking in.
So it's really, really simple, right? You have quality, you have talent, you have weapons, and you have somebody that doesn't know what to do with them. You have an offensive head coach that does not know what to do with that Ferrari. Again, I say he's driving it like a Volkswagen. You cannot, there was a specific times in the game that you see Michael Penix go to the sideline after however many downs were out. He points at his wrist, at his play chart, and he's looking at his head coach, his offensive head coach, and he's got nothing to say to him. And he's frustrated because he didn't get the play.
Right, so who's that on? Who's that on? Right, Danny, to your point.
On the offensive
coordinator. That's what it is, Danny, and thank you for checking in. Ding, ding, ding. That's what it is. As much as Michael Penix is having issues right now, again, the four-letter word, not that one, H-E-L-P. Help me. Help me, Zach. Help me, Ra. Ra, don't tell me everything's fine. It's not fine. It's the dog in the house that's on fire. The meme. Everything's fine. It's not. I need help. I'm a quarterback with 11 starts under my belt. I don't know how to do this thing yet. I'm not Tom Brady in his prime. I'm pretty good for a rook, but I need help. Help me, to Danny's point. Jeff is up next. Jeff.
Yeah. I'm on air.
You are.
I just had one quick comment. We have this Kirk Cousins. Is there any way that maybe he could help out in the Penix situation?
Well, it's funny. Yeah, no, I got you. According to Raheem Morris, Kirk Cousins is certainly there in body and mind and in spirit. But I don't know how much he's helping on a day-to-day basis. We'll never know. That Raheem could, you know, say whatever, but we're not there practicing. We don't see it every single day. I don't know how much Kirk has helped Mike. From everything we've heard, he has been available to him if needed. I don't know how often they talk. I don't know how often they break down film together. It might be every day. It might be never. But the bottom line is he needs his coaches. It's not Kirk Cousins. As much as Kirk is a nice guy, it's also not his responsibility. Kirk is still, guys, we got to remember, Kirk is PO'd at the Falcons, man. He wanted him, or him meaning Arthur Blank, to do everything in his power to find him a new home. And they were just like, nah, bro, you bleeped us over last year. We're not going to let that slide. You're going to be our backup quarterback. So I don't think Kirk is in the best situation to be, you know, a shoulder to cry on for Michael Penix. That's just my guess at what's going on. I don't know that. That is not reporting by any stretch of the imagination. That is based off of putting the puzzle pieces of everything we've heard about the way Kirk Cousins feels right now about the Falcons, the way the Falcons feel about him. We knew he did not love the drafting of Michael Penix Jr. to begin with, so that was that from the start. So if you put all the puzzle pieces, I think you can, Jeff, put together a reasonable facsimile of what's going on there. Coleman's up next. Coleman.
Hey, Turtle. So, respect D a lot. Just heard his interview, but I got to respectfully disagree with him on a few points, and one specifically is it's not just that young quarterbacks struggle. I mean, all you got to do is look around the NFL and get several examples of coaching matters. Like, do you think, for example, do you think if Matt Eberflus was still in charge there in Chicago, do you think Caleb Williams would be playing the way he's playing this season?
Nope.
Big fat nope. That's right. Whether it's Mac Jones or Sam Darnold or like coaching and development of quarterbacks matters. We're seeing regression. It's not simply that this guy struggles. Hey, he's got the tools to do it. You watch some of his throws, Turtle. like the deep over to Pitts that he dropped, the drop notwithstanding, that's a throw that not every starting quarterback in the NFL can make. Not everybody has the arm strength to make that throw. This guy's got talent, but I don't know whether, like, I don't know whether it's footwork or what. Like, it bothers me. A couple of things bother me. One, that he can't get under center. After 18 months under contract, they have not taught this guy the fundamentals well enough for him to get under center. It's especially egregious with our team because you can't do true play action if you're not under center. You can't turn your back to the defense, create that space between the linebackers and the defensive backs.
Even worse, the play action that he does do is the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I don't know what that is. They need to get rid of it immediately. The pirouette spin move that he does where the running back's not even on the same side of the field as him. And thank you for the call to your point, Oren. That is, I don't know what that is, but they need to get rid of that immediately. 404-726-0929. Good stuff from Coleman. Chip is up next. Chip.
Hey guys, how y'all doing tonight?
What up?
Not much, man, other than this conversation about the Falcons. One or two things. I'm going to come to Penix's defense for a quick minute, then I'm going to go to Raheem. Penix needs help. He came in as a quarterback that can spin it, as they say. But the OC got to get the guy what he needs, like the other caller just said. Got the talent. I ain't even going to put it on his footwork. He looked dejected. He looked like he's frustrated. He's upset because he ain't winning. He's upset because he ain't getting the help that he needs. And then again, for us to want him to win, how you going to win if the head coach ain't got what he need to do to get a man to success that he need to win with? You ain't even got a number two receiver. Your offensive lineman is jacked up. Raheem, it's time for you to own it. I think this is too big of a spot for him, and I enjoy you guys' show. Have a good night.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Again, as I've been saying all week, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but there's no other way to put it. You won't have to worry about that if this continues to go the way that it did. Oren, I'm not going to lie. I was shocked when D-Led said there's a path for them to return if they don't make the playoffs. I was shocked. And for as long as D's been covering the team, he knows Arthur Blank as well as anybody. To me, how can you in good faith have those two meet the media again to start next season and be like, well, we're back. We know it went always, you know, to heck on Sundays every single week, but we're going to try it again, darn it. No, I don't think you can. Great stuff, 404-726-0929. We'll push back Raheem Morris if y'all got something to say. Let's go, 404-726-0929. Still taking your calls. We'll get Raheem Morris in before the show's over. Don't worry, you'll hear from him exclusively on 92.9 The Game, but we got phone calls to take. I want to talk to Falcons fans. Let's go. How you feeling right now? 404-726-0929. It's Chris Thomas Turtle with you till 9:30. Well, Oren, sometimes you put out the bat signal and Batman shows up because we still got full phone lines. We are rocking and rolling until 9:30. Listen, I get it. You guys know me. Emotional, petty, and right now, pissed off because I did not like what I heard from the coach today and the quarterback, but the quarterback's just kind of like, whoa. Michael Penix Jr. needs some of that juice from Space Jam to drink and get his mojo back. I like that he takes accountability, but again, where are the solutions? I don't hear any solutions. You got the coach saying everything's fine. You got the quarterback saying it's all on me, but neither one of them are talking about solutions. Where are the solutions? Going to be very interested to hear what the coordinators have to say later in the week. DeAndre kicks us off. DeAndre, go ahead.
Hey, Turtle, what's going on?
What up, man?
Hey, I'm going to start this thing out by saying right now, the Falcons, they are like a fart that lingers around. The whole city smell it right now, right? This is one thing I got to say. We got Kirk Cousins sitting on our sideline, and he's probably one of the biggest haters right now. He's a big hater, and he's a cancer that needs to – you got to cut your finger off to save a hand. There's no reason he should still be on our sideline. Penix just came out. He's not a liar. He just came out and said he's not getting no help from nobody. So why do we have this vet sitting there and you know he's not helping. I think Raheem is lying to us, saying that Kurt is his teammate. He don't show it. We never see clips of Kurt standing next to Penix or helping him out.
But, DeAndre, to be fair, we also don't know what goes on at practice, right? We don't know.
Okay, I can take that. But all I'm saying is I feel like we're not using him. We already got to eat the money. Why is he still here? Well, he showed us what he can do versus Miami. Next. Okay, second thing, and this is my last thing. Tyler Allgeier, when he gets 10 or more carries, we win.
3-0.
Like,
3-0.
We got a big back who ran for 1,000 yards. If you want to use Bijan as this gadget player, put him in the slot. We don't have that. We don't have that wide receiver. Mooney is really a number three playing number two right now.
DeAndre, I'll do you one better. I'll do you one better, DeAndre. Tyler Allgeier was the best running back for the Falcons on Sunday. They didn't use him. They didn't use him. He was running over people. He got 2 touchdowns on 11 carries. It should have been 22 carries.
Turtle, you know what's going to break my heart? When he leaves.
When he's gone.
And he becomes this premier back on another team because we're afraid to say, Bijan, you're great. You're this and that. But maybe Tyler needs to get more carries right now because the offense is more productive when you have him. Plus, he can block these people that's coming out free all the time. You need that big back there toting the ball and blocking.
No, I appreciate it, DeAndre. I you know me if you've been listening, DeAndre. I am Tyler Allgeier's biggest fan. And you're right. When he gets those touches in a game, they're 3-0. When he doesn't, they're 0-6. That's what it comes down to, y'all. That's what it comes down to. If Tyler Allgeier has 14 or more touches in a game, the Falcons are 3-0. When he doesn't, they're 0-6. That's facts, man. Now, I get it. A couple of those games, Carolina, Miami, you couldn't run them that much because you had to throw yourself back into the game because you got down so badly. So I get that, but I'm all about it. And again, on last Sunday, this is not a knock on Bijan. Tyler Allgeier was playing out of his mind. He was running over people, left and right. 2 touchdowns. Feed him. Why did you not do that, Zach Robinson? I don't know. I don't understand. LeBron is up next. LeBron.
What up, Turtle?
What up, man?
Hey, man. The last caller pretty much hit it on the head, man. We got to feed that jerk, that rock, man. Like you say, he a beast when he get the ball. Our offense coordinator got to learn how to use both. I love when they're both in the game together and you got to figure out who and what's coming next because that makes us so less unpredictable because right now we're so predictable. When Penix fall back on 3rd and 1, he's going to throw it out to London, and every quarterback is sick. Hey, I'm surprised Sauce didn't pick that one off. He put hands on it. But even Sauce knew the game, knew that down and out was coming before he even threw it, you know?
Yeah, and but Sauce had been there for 3 days.
Yeah, and guess my thing. Somebody explained to me, Raheem, somebody please ask him the question. I forgot what game it was when Penix threw the ball away with the 10-second runoff and we didn't have a timeout. Okay. You as a coach, as an OC, that was a learning play that you said that y'all going to go over. We had that same situation that happened at the end of the game.
Sure did.
But we had 2 timeouts.
Yep.
So if he threw it away, if you burn a timeout, we still got 11 seconds for the ball to the middle of the field. Who knows?
Well, LeBron, you know what that says? We don't trust you. That says we don't trust you, Michael Penix, to go out and make a big play. We're afraid that you're going to throw an interception or throw it on the ground or throw it at somebody's feet or do one of those stupid pirouette moves with 11 seconds on the clock. So we would rather end the game prematurely, which is what they chose to do, and go to overtime than give us a chance with 11 seconds left. Thanks, LeBron. Appreciate it. 404-726-0929. Ski is up next. Ski, go ahead.
Okay, so a lot of these calls that have been calling in have really been hitting on the head. And the reason why we don't have a conclusion to, you know, us taking accountability, whether it's the head coach or whether it's the quarterback, is because we're confused. We don't know what to do. You have talented players and don't know how to use talented players. The play calling is horrible. With 4th and 1, 4th and 2, we're throwing a slant when we can just power run the ball. I mean, we have one of the two best backs in the league. Let's run the ball. That's what we're known for. And then, too, also, if we're not getting plays in time, that's a coaching. That's something to do with the coach. That's a coaching mistake. Now, I will get on Penix because Penix got to get the ball up. He's holding the ball too long, and then sometimes when he throws the ball, it's too short or over the guy's head, or he's throwing it at the ground. I've watched a lot of games where he's throwing the ball.
Well, but, Ski, you know what that is, though? But you know what that is? Coaching. You got to get him out of bad – that's bad habits. You know how you get rid of bad habits? Coaching.
Yeah. Yeah, and I agree. I agree totally. The coaching is just – it's like they don't know what to do. It feels like they're still trying to gel. Like, we got everything we need, but we don't have the gel there. We're not connected together mentally. We're not connected mentally. And that's what I think they're missing. They're missing that mental connection to get them over the hump.
Yeah, Ski, it's a good point because that's why you don't have consistency, right? That's why – well, the last 4 weeks, you know which team is going to show up. But for most of the season, you didn't know if it was Jekyll or Hyde. Because of Ski's point, the inconsistency is absolutely maddening. It's a good point. Bryce is up next. Bryce.
What's up, Turtle?
What up, man?
Hey, a lot of good points being made, and the most dumbfounding thing is the fact that Blank has, you know, hitched his wagon to Raheem Morris. He's not a leader. He's not a head coach. Let's face it. You're getting a lot of word salad from this guy. The tough part for Penix is you're 3-6, and you're playing like this, and you've got a guy out there who isn't being coached. I mean, my question is, what does the message to the team look like from Raheem Morris? Does he instill confidence in these guys? Because he sure as hell doesn't instill confidence in the fans.
That's the unfortunate part about it, and I don't know. Like, is he saying the same thing, and thank you for the phone call, is he saying the same thing to the team that he's saying to Dukes and Bell? God, I hope not. I hope he's more transparent with the team. If he's trying to tell his guys that, you know, we're good, Penix is confident, we're going to get it right. Oh, okay. Oh, boy. I mean, that's how you lose a locker room, Bryce, to your point. I hope not. Bill is up next. Bill.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
What's up, Bill?
My position on the whole conversation is, unless you've been in that fire, unless you've been there, what coach is going to come out in the interviews and say what's really going on? We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. We don't know what he's telling Penix. We don't know what he's telling the offensive coordinator. So my thing is, Penix is a work in progress. How many young quarterbacks come into the league and being accepted to the league?
But Bill, hang on, and I'll let you finish. Bill, hang on, I'll let you finish. Okay. But we know better, though. That's my whole point, right? Like, you as a Falcons fan, you know better than Raheem telling us what we heard in that soundbite. Like, doesn't that bother you? You know that's not the truth.
No, because I don't know what he's saying to Penix. He may be chewing him out. He may be in his jock. He may tell him, look, man, you got to step up. We brought you in for a reason. And then at the same time, Penix may be overwhelmed with what's going on, but what's to say that he's not going to eventually get himself together? He's a rookie, man.
But we don't have time for eventually. Bill, we don't have time for eventually. There is no eventually. Right now.
No. But what I'm saying is right now he is gradually learning the game. I'm sure he's out there getting himself together, learning to play. And who's to say that that leg is not bothering him? Because that's why he's not going up behind center.
Bill, let me ask you a question. How many games did you think at the beginning of the season this team was going to win? Be honest.
How many games what now?
How many games did you think this team was going to win before the season started? Be honest.
I'm going to be honest. I never even thought about it. I just wanted to see the maturity of the quarterback. I wanted to see the growth of how those coaches are molding him into being an NFL quarterback. I didn't think he was ready initially when Cousins got hurt. But I wanted to see where his heart was. And what I see in him is frustration. But he got to bounce that off.
Well, Bill, I'll tell you this. You have the patience of Job, my friend, because 99.9% of Falcons fans were not going to say, I didn't even think about what the win-loss record would be for this team this season. We took the calls. I took the call. I have the receipts, Oren, as the kids like to say. Playoffs or bust was the mantra from the overwhelming majority of the calls. And that's just the facts, man. Randy, finish us off this segment. Randy, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, man. I got to tell you, what D. Orlando said, we're 29th in rushing defense. This is not on the defense. I don't care how top 10, how top 5 your defense is. I don't care how 85 bears your defense is. If you have an offense, They keep leaving them on the field, keep leaving them out to dry because they're the three and out crew. Your defense is going to get worn out. They're going to be injured. They're going to be on IR. That being said, our offense, talent-wise, is comparable to 2016. Coach Raheem has seen it. We, Tevin Coleman, Bijan Robinson, okay? Tyler Allgeier, the other running back. We got the same comparable talent minus Hall of Famer Julio Jones. There's no counterpunch. There's no running game. There's no run to set up the pass. This is on the coaching staff.
No,
you don't have another wide receiver coach to fire.
Randy,
this is on you.
I agree, and I thank you for the phone call. It is, and they didn't make any moves at the deadline. They cut Ray McLeod, David Sills, Casey Washington. They ain't it. Sorry. 404-726-0929. All right, if you're on hold, stay there. We will get to you. We are going to take a very brief respite from Falcons talk. I did want to bring in our Odyssey MLB insider, Rob Bradford, to talk about all the moves the Braves made and what they're going to do this offseason. And then after that, I promise, right back to your calls. 404-726-0929. So if you're on hold, make sure you stay there because you'll be first up when we get back after Rob Bradford, who joins us next. We're talking Falcons football with you, a little Braves sprinkled in as well. It's Chris Thomas tonight with you until 9:30.